I actually wrote there on top of my notes, wait for the Lord. Wait. Today, I don't want to rush this because I believe it's something that you're either going to see it or not. And unless we see it and the revelation comes and God does something by the Spirit, we're going to miss it. And then it's just another couple of words from a guy in a church. And that's not what we want. And so I think we've done a fair bit of waiting. But for good reason, we're revisiting a sermon, short sermon series that we did in November last year. Who remembers consecrating for a crossing? Anybody? Four hands, great stuff. Hi guys, welcome to Shofar Table View. We'll hand out some of those packs for you just now. So end of last year, the Lord just tugged on my heart after my sabbatical that He's going to take us into a new season. And in this new season, we're going to trust Him to go into our promised land that is many things, but above all, I guess, just more of Jesus. It is to live truly Christ-like lives, that to have more of Christ and to receive the promised land promises that He has for us as a church, but also for us individually. Anybody that have seen at the beginning of this year breakthrough in their life? I can think of a couple of businesses and places, real breakthrough. It sounds simple, but the two small groups that we've, by the grace of God, have planted, and a couple of people that's really awakened to the faith lately is just some of these, I believe, early downpours of what the Lord wants to do as He takes us into the promised land. We'll quickly unpack that just now, but some of the people weren't here, so I'm going to try to rehash some of it, but not everything. So we sense that there's a shift that the Lord wants to take us out of slavery and out of a time in the desert, that 40-year period, and into the Jordan for us as a church. And above all, we want to see new life, Zoe life in all of our lives. And for that, we need the Lord's leading, and for that, we need His grace in His hand, and for the shift to happen, we need Christ to do that. And so like many charismatic churches, we can have this themey thingy and do it a couple of weeks and go, oh, hoo-ha, and then just go on with life and forget about it, right? That's not the heart. That's why I love to go back. When I do intercession at our NTP training for Shofar up-and-coming pastors, I love to show them the prophetic themes of 7 years that the Lord has given this church and how it actually tied in with what happened in those years. Because we need to remind ourselves of what the Lord said. We should also not become so blasé with prophecy that we tickle our ears and then just move on and forget about being responsible. Or at least saying, well, was that actually God? That consecrate for the crossing thingy, was that actually God? Did we see any fruit in that season of new life? Was that inside-out theme actually of God in 2020? That type of thing. And so that's the reason why we do it. So on Wednesday night, we had this amazing moment at small group where we went into worship and prayer. And then I just heard the lies of the giants, the lies of the giants, something like that. And then we started to pray and prophesy over the people in our small group and attack the lies of the giants in the land. Now, you lights will probably start going on right now of what was happening in that moment. I'll explain the biblical picture shortly. And so we were just prophesying over these people, thinking back to, God said we're crossing the Jordan, God said we're in the promised land, but a bunch of these people are on the real attack. What's going on? And so the Lord said, the lies of the giants. Anybody been sensing the lies of the giants? Anybody? Okay, great. But the beautiful thing is, I think Edna and Karine, they went for a walk and coffee the next morning, and then they shared, and lo and behold, at Peter and Karine's small group, the exact same theme came out. There was obviously not something I pushed out that everybody should do, but they, and I think Karine, in fact, saw in the spirit the giants intimidating people in this season, and then they started to worship as they do, and started to shout hallelujah against the giants. And so immediately when I heard that, and even now as I share this, I knew the Lord was up with something. And so I just thought back, well, we had this word, and we've got this word that God is leading us into more. But we're also seeing that we need to see that the enemy get dispossessed in the promised land so that we can take possession of the promised land. Are you hearing me? And so maybe some of you, it might not be for everybody, but some of us, the Lord is saying, come up higher spiritually. Come on, I want to stretch your spiritual muscles. I've got so much more for you. But you're giving up your ears maybe to the whispers of the giants, the common things that are in the land that I actually want to give to you. This is metaphors, this is pictures, Christ spoke in parables, so please just buckle up. This is poetic language, but God gives us these pictures to what? Show us spiritual truths. So God actually just wants to encourage us today. Lord, help us to see. Lord, let there be light. Lord, if there's enemy lies and whispers that we thought was only our own thoughts that's been attacking us not to inherit what you have for us in the season, expose it today, Lord, and knock it over today by your anointing and by your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So the heart is to see. So let's quickly rewind and remember. What was this all about? It's about Israel in the Old Testament. Who knows the story of Israel? Who brought Witelikus ingebring om oor te slaap? So Israel was God's people. I don't have much time. And we did this in November. But you know, they were God's people. They were captive and slaves in Egypt for how many years? 400 years. God gave a promise and said, I'm going to lead you out of slavery. It was quite intense. Go read it. And then I'm going to take you through the desert to a what? A promised land. What was the promised land? It is a place where they can live, where there's no slavery, no oppression, and they can own and have their own land. But who remembers in Numbers 13, they sent out how many spies to go check out this new lot, this new place that God had promised them? Send out 12 people. This is what happened. It's lots of scripture, but it's important because I believe the whispers of the enemy in the seasons is much like this. And if we fall for the bad reports, we miss out on the fullness of Christ for the season. Are we hearing one another? I hope so. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land, so they've scouted this land to which you sent us. And it does flow with milk and honey. Here it is, the fruit. Massive, massive fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. So they went like, wow. So if you come from the Dorp table view and you go to the city, then it's like, wow, they had this moment. Thanks, Stephen. We even saw descendants of Anak there. They are quite big people, giant-like people. The Amalekites live in Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along. Next one, thank you, the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Who's got a friend like that? Who's got a Caleb and Joshua-like friend? Anybody? You need friends like that. Get yourself some friends like that. Amen? That's just an added bonus. Get yourself some friends like that. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. And so they just said, God's got a bad idea. This is not going to work. So context, 400 years of slavery. These are the lucky guys that get out, can get out. They should just cross the Jordan eventually. But they say, well, no. No, we should rather stay put. This cannot be God. And so the enemy is obviously stealing from that because we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes and we look the same to them. So intimidation, fear, and unbelief. And I believe the Lord wants to knock, maybe in some of our lives, knock over the giants today of intimidation, fear, and unbelief. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because then, you know the story. God said, well, oops, you're not going to go. In fact, you're going to stay 40 years so that the whole of this generation can pass away. And only Joshua and Caleb's going to stay behind, a fresh bunch of people, and then you guys in 40 years' time will go. So 400 years just became, what, 10% longer because of a bad report. Guys, do not lean out your ears for the bad report. Guys, do not lean out your ears in the season for the giant's bad report. Be careful of unbelief. Be careful of intimidation. Anyway, Joshua 1, we just quickly looking at what we shared last year so that we're on the same page and that we understand this parable that the Lord is maybe giving to us today. Joshua 1, now God said, okay, the 40 years are done. Now is the time. The unbelief is kind of worked out of your system. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm giving the Israelites. Not I want to give, I might give, I am giving to you. So if God says, hey, Shofar, Tabuvia, I'm taking you across the Jordan, is it might, maybe, get a nice idea? No. He says, I am taking you over to more of me. I am taking you over to a place where your old slavery is no longer. But we need to act upon it. We need to take that and live that by faith. And then I believe a core key for the season again is be strong and courageous. Look at your neighbor and say, be strong and courageous. Kyle, this is makkelijk for you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land. You will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. It's like saying to one another, be strong and courageous, for we will see revival, new life. Not we might. Oh, yes, it's so nice, yes. No, we will see new life, albeit in a marriage, albeit addiction being broken, albeit debt being eradicated, or being that God brings supernatural healing, somebody gets saved, whatever the case may be, God will do what God said. But there's a position, and obviously there's a battle. Above all, be strong and very courageous. Second time, to be careful, to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. And so God is saying to them, hey guys, you're the lucky ones. After 440 years, you're going to go and receive that. That we said to one another as a church in November as well. But he also says, hey, be careful that you listen to what I say. Be careful that you do as I lead you to do. Be wise. This book of instructions must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. Just a quick testimony. I listened to a sermon the other day of Bill Johnson. And he, I think it was him, yes, Tim Keller. Well, he was a good guy, real good theology. He said he read a book of guys being martyred and guys being persecuted. I think it is in the East in a season, a long season. People that were persecuted and then, let's say, half of them denying their faith and the other ones not denying their faith even unto the place of death. And somebody had written a book, had countless of accounts with these people, and he just wanted to know what was the difference. Why would some people deny their faith, turn their back and go against Christ? And why would some, even to the point of death, remain faithful to Christ? And he said what came out actually after reading that book is the one thing that stood out like a pole boy water was that those that did not deny Christ were actually also people that actively memorized Scripture. You didn't see that coming, did you? I didn't either, but it convicted me. Scripture is so easy to find on YouVersion these days. By the way, get on YouVersion. It's so easy to Google something quickly if you want to prepare for a sermon, but it's another thing if you take those promises of God. I've got 4 or 5 pages, and in seasons of my life, reading and reading and reading so that it becomes part of me. I want to maybe just quickly, I don't have time for this, but implore you, are we still actively pursuing Scripture, memorizing Scripture, letting it become part of who we are? Because when you are taking the promised land and it doesn't fall on your lap like a McDonald's burger, then it'll be good to have Scripture on your inside. Then it'll be good to know and discern the battle and know that this is actually the enemy trying to steal what is mine, to steal what is my family's, and to steal what belongs to our church community. So it's important that we are people in His Word. Verse 9, haven't I commanded you a third time, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So he says, here's this promised land after 440 years. Go in, but be strong and courageous. And so we said, Lord is taking us into a promised land. We consecrated, we prayed, and I was quite excited, and I still am. But he also said, when you go there, and I think this is very apt for 2023, be strong and courageous. I want to ask you, are you strong and courageous? Are you strong and courageous, or are you discouraged and afraid? Don't put up your hand. Discouraged and afraid, or strong and courageous? I believe by the Spirit, the Lord wants to just encourage you today to be strong and courageous. These are not cute things we just say in church. These are spiritual truths, battles that we face because we want to be a people that one day stand before Him and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You actually lived the potential that I placed in you. You actually lived the potential of Christ for your family and for your time and for your people. You actually lived what I had planned. Well done, Joshua and Caleb. I would love to be like, I've messed up before. But I see God's grace is good. But I want to take up and I will say, Lord, I want the fullness of the calling that you have for my life. Just imagine just walking up there and you did 10% what you could have had. Because I was really busy playing roll ball. I was really good at roll ball. Imagine, what a waste. Anyway, moving on. So we went through, and so this is where I believe we are. Yeah, that's where I believe we are. I believe we're there. I believe we are here. We are possessing our promised land spiritually, and God is dispossessing the enemy's strongholds, but I can see the enemy's trying his luck. The enemy is trying his luck. Don't let the enemy try his luck anymore in your family. Don't let him try his luck in your heart, because that's actually where the promised land needs to happen first. Don't let him come with the old nonsense of Egypt. Who's been experiencing battles that you actually were enslaved to in Egypt lately? Anybody? Come on, let's be honest. I have. The enemy trying his luck with old stuff. I'm like, Edna and I acknowledge that to one another. I'm like, where does this rejection nonsense come from? I'm not in Egypt anymore. I'm crossed the Jordan. I'm in the promised land. But what is this? And I realized it's the giants of lies just wanting to enslave God's people again. And we should say no. But we need to stay in the Word, stay in the Spirit, stay accountable, and be in the light. We are possessing the promised land. So going back to the picture that we have in the Word of the Israelites. So once they got to the promised land, you would think, Pina colada, stick up your fear, et die braaibroodjies onthou, nou gaat ons party. But it wasn't like that. It was Jericho. It was actually a big battle. And for the next 7 years, guess what they did in the promised land? Anybody, any good guess? Anybody? They had battles. They had wars for 7 years. So here's the promised land. No, it's not like marriage. I wanted to make a joke, but I'm not going to do that. It's like, here's your promised bride. And for the next 7 years, you need to sort out stuff so that you can just gel better. But it's like, not like that. Edna's eye says, no, it's not like that. But it's here's this promise of God, this beautiful thing that God has promised generations before you. The fathers of faith. You are now here, and guess what? He says, you'll have to do a couple of wars for 7 years, but keep your heart pure before the Lord. And that's what I want to implore us, and what I want to remind us is that He's a good God, and He supernaturally will come through. So they first had to take down Jericho, then they were defeated because of sin. Here's the thing. If God says you lost it, then lost it in this season. If God says no in this season, then no. If God says go, commit, and do, sow, give, run, stop, whatever, do that. Because I read through the first 9 chapters of Joshua just to get my head around what the Lord is saying. And it was just crazy how one person would not destroy the bait and would take stuff from Jericho, put money in his pocket and hide it under his tent, and the whole Israel will lose the battle against Ai. No wonder they called it Ai. Ai, wie het gesteel? Ai, wie het nie vir God geluister nie? Ai. Here's the thing is, we walk in accountability. We are family. And so, as far as by grace I am walking in obedience, I'm also trusting that you need to walk in obedience for us, for our kids, for the next generation. Because otherwise, we can't win the battles in the promised land. So the allied forces were defeated at Gibeon by Israel. Then they had a quick victory there at Libna, and apparently this was all done in about 7 years once they got there. Why is that important to us? Because if we say spiritually, we believe the Lord's given us a season where He's taking us into more of Him, into breakthrough, into new life, into more of Christ in our marriages and families and lives, then we also need to know that we are going to have these fights against what? Oppressors. So what were they fighting against, and what did they trust the Lord to dispossess? They just didn't want to be enslaved like they were enslaved in Egypt. So again, I would say, you'll remember what enslaved you in Egypt. What we enslaved, the opinions of people, money, addiction, some sort of perversion, some habitual sin, something that the enemy had his hold on you before you got saved. Then you got saved, you went through the Red Sea, unbelief was worked out of your heart, and God is taking you into the promised land. But now the enemy is saying, hey, remember what? There's a people group that will come and lord over you again, that wants to enslave you once again. And then immediately, what are you going to do? Are you going to trust God that He will fight this enemy? Because at the end of the day, in the promised land, we need to dispossess all of the enemy. That means Monday, the other night, the Lord said to us, small foxes. And I believe you can't have your promised land with a couple of small foxes. Amen? That's kind of where we're heading. And so, I can't do it. I'm not righteous in and of myself. I suck at it. And I really need more of Jesus, more of the Word, and more accountability in people that love me along the way. To say, Lord, please get rid of all the small foxes, because I want the fullness of the promised land for me and your people. And go to the next slide. Thanks. So, I think I've said this in many ways, but this new covenant revelation, maybe you're new to all of this poetic metaphor speaking, because we're referring to a people group way back in the day that physically moved from one place to another. They were in many battles, and now we say this has got something to do with my heart. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. So these stories are practical Old Testament true events being metaphors and pictures of New Testament spiritual realities. So when we think, wow, Lord, how can they kill all those people? How could they have taken out a whole bunch of people? Say, Jericho, how could they just destroy everything and everybody? Now, after Christ, obviously we have much more grace and we're less hostile, hopefully, than people were before then. But now we can see that God says, whatever the enemy is rooted in your heart, you need to destroy completely. And so whatever was happening physically there, we now spiritually realize when we go into the promised land, we need to uproot and take out all and dispossess all of the enemy's things in our lives. Whatever that might be in your life. Does that make sense? So the promised land for us is what? It's firstly, I believe, the fullness of Christ. But it is the opposite of slavery, oppression, toil, and pain. And so if you were enslaved and bowing down to poverty and mammon, and you are worked and you had no clue of God, now in the promised land you will have God as your Lord and Savior. You will listen to His heartbeat. You will listen to His word and not bow down before mammon or poverty or lack, for instance. And so we're not fighting people and nations at the moment. Hallelujah. But the fight is, it's a demonic fight over those things that used to enslave, empower, or lord over us. Does this make sense? Is there any flag or any lights that go on in your life that you think, that thingy? Maybe the voice of the enemy is trying to say, hey, but you are still like you were before. And God says, no, you are not. Your unbiblical beliefs, the false identities we once had, the enslavement to sin, the bowing before mammon and the Babylonian system, the Lord says, no, none of that anymore. For you are people that are set free. You are called. So quickly, what are the giants in your life that the enemy is trying to intimidate you with and bring fear in your life at the moment? Who's got the guts to say, what is it that the enemy is lying to you about? Anybody? Joe, thank you. Fear of man, rejection, two brilliant ones. So how would you miss out the promised land, the fullness of Christ, in those two instances? You might not step out of the boat. You might not walk out in faith. You might not worship in the way in which you would have worshipped. You might not pursue a career or, let's say, ministry like you would have, because wat gaan die mense sê? Brilliant examples. Anybody else? What are the giants trying to intimidate you with at the moment so that you cannot have the full freedom of the Lord? Anybody? You're not loved. An old lie that he says you're still enslaved to that. And you're saying, no way. Anybody else? Anything? Does this make sense? Okay. Anybody? Anxiety. Yes. Old ways of enemy. Obviously, there will be a root cause for the anxiety. There will always be a lie that the enemy has brought that brings an emotion that makes you anxious, but I hear what you're saying. But it's an old line. We need to say, Lord, shine the light, because no, this is not life and life in abundance. Anybody else? What is the giant saying? Yes, God. Unbelief. Yes, absolutely. Unbelief. Trusting God in the process. Yes, it's giant with unbelief and you don't realize and see what you have. That's why starting with Thanksgiving today was maybe just good for us. That you do not know Him. Amen. I hear you. Yes. So the giants are saying, but you do not know God. Fizzer. You are not worthy. You are a big fat lie of the enemy. Anybody else? What are the enemy saying to you at the moment? That God really say that? Anybody thought, will God really provide? Anybody in this day and age? Okay, thank you, amen. Yes, I must say we moved as the Lord led us to buy a place. And so things are quite tight. The other day what happened, I'm going to share vulnerably now, but we were just discussing and at a meal and somebody said, oh yes, that guy's got a retainer. He just now and again looks around, he scouts for people in his off time and his retainer, and he mentioned the amount, and that amount was a little bit more than my salary. So the little bit of extra that he gets on a side hustle that he now and again does like a hobby was a bigger amount than my salary, and that just struck my heart. And in that moment, I'm just being vulnerable. I'm just like, what the hell am I doing? This guy's side hustle that he sniffs around on Google and looks around on a sports field makes him more money in a retainer basis than my salary. And that just, I didn't realize it. I saw it later. But all of a sudden, I started to bleed. I don't know why I'm bleeding. I don't know why I'm bleeding. I don't know why I'm bleeding. But the giant had come. The foreign country. The blikimmers came and tried to throw me and said, did your God really call you here? Did your God really say that He will give you this? Did your God really? And it took a lucky rebuke from Debia when I shared this in accountability because I was thinking, maybe I should do something extra. And then he rebuked me with the truth of Scripture. And I was like, yes, and God brought me back what? He brought me back to sonship. I've been living as a son. I know sonship. I know my dad. I know him when he provides. I know his voice. I say this humbly, but I've been through the mall with him. But in a moment, the enemy comes with intimidation and fear of some random oak's retainer spooking you. Now that's an example of the giant lying. And I was just say, sorry God, you have provided enough for today. Matthew 6 says, do not worry about tomorrow. That is my mantra. That is what I've been living. I repent. When I saw it, I could repent. But that is an example of where the enemy comes trying to intimidate us. It could be many other things. We don't have time. It could be pride. It could be low self-esteem, wrong identity. But there are so many things that the enemy would like to throw at us. Now quickly, what do we do? There's a slide up there. I said, on the one side, it's faith. We need to have faith. Because on the other side, it's either intimidation, unbelief, or fear. Unbelief, intimidation, or fear. So we need to look to Christ so that we can be a people of faith that can truly say, man, in my house, we are living a promised land type of lifestyle. We are living in more of Christ than we lived last year. I'm living on my inside when nobody's watching. Man, I'm living in so much liberty and freedom and shalom peace. I'm living in so much peace in my identity. I'm so content with what I have. I'm in such a good space. That I believe is promised land. Man, I see life in my small group. Man, I see life in my worship. Man, I see life in my connections with people at work. And that is what we need to go for people to be a people of faith so that the enemy cannot lie to us. I'm going to just read through these. Don't have time to preach through them. But I quickly wrote down 6 things of what we can do. What can we do? We realize, oh yes, God said promised land. Oh, I kind of forgot about it. Oh, yes, yes. Where's the promised land? I've just been battling. And now, what are the 6 things that we can do? You can go to the next slide. We can be strong and courageous. Now, who can be strong and courageous in and of themselves? Anybody? Come on. Here's the thing. We should say, Lord, I acknowledge I do not feel strong in a certain area. I can now, like I just shared my weakness in that moment, I can share. But in my weakness, His strength is what? Made perfect. Let the weak say, I am? Yes. Sterk manigi. No, I'm just joking. You can just trust the Lord to help you. through His Spirit. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If God gives us such a command for the season, it's given for a reason. He knows the enemy's tactics beforehand. So if He says, we're going into promised land, season of breakthrough, season of fruitfulness, then guess what? He also says, I know where the enemy will attack you, so gird up your loins. Be strong and courageous. Get into the Word and make sure the Word is in you. The second thing, the Emmanuel reality. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Stephen prayed it so beautifully in intercession. Just a whisper, being so close. Is God still this close to you in this season? I know He's this close, but you understand my... Is God still this close? Of is hy God die Vader? Wat daar aan die ander kant sit? Anybody? Where is He? Where's God? Up close and personal. Where's God? Does it always feel like that? In other words, we need to make sure that we remind ourselves through the Word and good fellowship and worship, being in His presence, that He is Emmanuel, God with us. As Sam is with her young lad. So David said, I know the God that actually helped me with the bear and the lion, and He is with me. So what did he say to Goliath? What was his question? I love it. I prayed it the other night. I love it. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should, what is the word again? Defile the armies of the living God. That's right. Sorry, you got me a bit intimidated there. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So if rejection or whatever lie of the enemy is coming for you, of your family, and what coming in your thought life in this time, you should turn around, discern it well, in humility in Christ, say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defile the armies, the sons and the daughters of the living God? And so we know what happened to Goliath, and likewise that needs to happen in this season. Quickly, third thing, we need to stir and hold our faith. That's why we hear. That's why we share. That's why we acknowledge we need more of the Lord. We want more of Him. We need to be strengthened. We need to feed our faith with truth. Do you want to be a giant killer? Hang out with giant killers. There are a couple of them in the Word. You want to be a giant killer? Hang out with giant killers. It's very simple. If you want to be a surfer, hang out with surfers or giant killers. The thing is, Romans 10:17, you know, so faith comes by the hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I needed to, in that moment, something struck my heart. I needed to go back to God. I went in accountability. I went to the Word. And then God had to speak again about provision, and immediately, boom, peace came. Oh, yes, that's right. I needed to stir up my faith again. I needed to remind myself of who God and who I am. And that's how you take out the enemy's lies in this time. You need to pray. Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray. Talk to God. Talk to God in the season, and that will lead us to that freedom and more of Him. Fourth thing, be spiritually minded. Pray, rule, and reign. Yes, Eskom's got trouble. Yes, there's stuff in South Africa that's not ideal. Yes, there's stuff in your life that is not perfect. But guess what? The battle is not in the flesh. The battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle originates from a spiritual place. Even the lies that comes for you incessantly by this enemy, incessantly trying to awake fear in your life, incessantly trying to take the promised land from you, that is spiritual. So guess what? We need to be more spiritually minded. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God. We love seeing it there next door in kids' church, but this is so practical and needed every day for us. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness. And don't think that you're not included in this battle. You don't opt out. You die and go to heaven, but you don't opt out of this battle. I learned that the hard way. Being in ministry and going on holiday, you still don't opt out. The war is different and there's maybe a grace, but that's part of this life. And against the authorities, against the powers of darkness, against the spiritual forces and evil and heaviness, this is why you must take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day and having prepared everything to take your stand. And so if you want to take this promised land, for 7 years they needed to take their stand. Are you willing to take your stand? Are you willing to take your stand? Amen. Fifth thing, be obedient. If the Lord says stop, stop. If he says go, go. If he says give, give. If he says lay down, lay down. Be obedient in this season. And again, it is not only good for you, it is good for your family. It is good for your marriage if you're married. It's good for your friendships. It's good for your small group. If you are going to be obedient, it will be good for your small group and for your church community. If you're going to walk in disobedience, guess what? The rest of us will suffer. I want to say this again. This is part of the reality of life. If I'm going to walk in disobedience the whole time, it will have an effect on the rest of you. I would not like to do that. And I believe neither would you. Lord, have mercy on us. Help us, Lord. And then the last thing. Know this about these fights. As we can see about breaking through and receiving the promises and living in more of Him, seeing the promised land in new life, real threats are attacked. Why did Jonah Loma, just to keep them in all, why did Jonah Loma, rest his soul, hopefully he was a believer, why did he never score a try against the Springboks? Why? Hello? Why did Jonah Loma never score a... Yes. Because he was a great threat. He was a great threat. And so they focused. Where are the enemy attacking you? Where are the enemy attacking you at the moment? Where is it that the giants are lying to you at the moment? Because that is most probably where you are a great threat to the enemy. Where the enemy is attacking you is very often where you are a great threat. Threat to the enemy. I feel that, Demi. In my life, I've seen that. The enemy attacks that which threatens him. You might look at people's lives and you're like, why do they so easy and why do this and why do that? Why do they have this, that, and the other? They don't carry a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You are carrying a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You are carrying, this church is carrying a major threat to the kingdom of darkness. New life, revival in this area carries a great threat to the kingdom of darkness. Coming together on a Sunday, coming together on a Wednesday, worshiping in spirit and truth, memorizing scripture, disciplining and loving your children, opening up your home and being hospitable is a great threat to the enemy. Do not think that it will be easy. But in each of those cases where God dispossessed, He was the supernatural grace and ingredient for His people. We're not saying, hey, we should. But we should turn our gaze and say, Lord, please come and take out the enemy. Amen. You can stand with me. Let's quickly pray. I don't want to push ministry now. I think there was enough deep conviction. So let's just solidify this in the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you have brought light today. Thank you that your Spirit counsels us. Thank you that your word and your parables are clear. Thank you, Father God, that you have spoken to each and every heart personally. And so, Lord, thank you that we can acknowledge where the enemy has been attacking, where he's been lying, threatening, where he's brought fear in our lives and intimidation. And wherever we have fallen for the lies, we just want to repent. So if you want to repent, just say, Lord, I repent by lifting up your hand just in a moment. Lord, we repent. Lord, make us again spiritually minded to have on our full armor and to know that you are with us. And ultimately, we don't want to be, I said giant killers, but we know ultimately, God, you are the only giant killer. Christ, you are the only giant killer. But we acknowledge this. Giant killer, will you just take your place and your throne in our heart so that you can kill the giants in our lives afresh? If that is your prayer, to say, Christ, I want more. I acknowledge, but I don't want to step back. I want the fullness of the promised land that you have for me and for my house and for my church and for my future. If you just want to say, Jesus, please do this and Jesus, help me, just raise your hand. But we can just agree on that in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. You see this. We acknowledge this. And as a church, we say yes to this. We can't, but you have. We can't, but you have. You have done this. And so thank you that we can just declare that you knock over giants, demonic lies that has even come down generations in our lives, but you knock them over by your grace. In this church, you knock them over. In this area, you knock them over. And all we can give is our yes and our humility and our willingness. That's all. That's all we can give. And then those sensitive areas that has been threatening the enemy, that is hit so hard, I pray for grace over those areas in our lives as well. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Thank you for your blood over this meeting. Thank you for your hiding us in this meeting and hiding our families after this meeting in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.